I'm getting a little sound blade from you, Nelson.
A little what? Oh, sound bleed. Yeah, okay.
I can hear a bit of myself.
Oh, that's not normal. I'm gonna lower... Okay, can you talk again and see if it's better?
Testing. Yeah, that's fine.
Great.
I'm not getting any echoes.
Great. That is great. So, we can start, well, now. I think we should start now. We don't have a theme, so we have... maybe you have thought of a theme for today's conversation. Maybe there's some stuff that you want to discuss. News events or old events. Who knows?
It's quite a lot of stuff going on.
Exclusively the American election.
Oh.
Oh. You guys want to talk about country's election?
No. I'm just joking.
I completely forgot it was happening, honestly.
Me too.
Oh, wow.
And I live here.
That's even more surprising.
I try to think of it as little as possible. Are we gonna do like a formal like, ta-da, we're starting the episode now?
Or should we sync up with a clap?
Or do
we
just,
okay.
Or do we
right
just now.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Oh, I haven't pressed record yet.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
I'm on it.
Everybody, press record.
I'm recording.
And if everyone's pressed it, just for the sake of editing, can we all just clap?
So on the three.
Okay.
Count of three. After three.
Doesn't have to be perfectly in sync. It's just, it'll help a lot.
Works.
3, 2, 1.
Wait, 3, 2, 1 or 1, 2, 3?
clap
three,
now.
3, 2, 1, clap. 3, 2, 1, clap.
That'll do. That'll help sort of because the last episode, I think there was an extra like 30 seconds on Nelson's recording and Cyan's had like even longer. So like to sync it up, I had to wait until the conversation was natural between all three tracks and it was weird.
Oh, damn. You had to wait 30 seconds. What an ordeal. On the contrary, this conversation and the failed claps will make an excellent cold open. So... everyone, and welcome to another episode of Aneurysm, the Dub Text podcast about memes and internet culture and whatever the hell any of it means. Today we are recording episode, I think, 27, but don't take my word for it because I never know which episode we are on. So you are listening in the future after it's been edited, so you know the actual number. Why am I saying this every time? I don't know. But, like, that's showbiz, baby. So, you might remember that I hired, quotes, my friend Lisa about a year ago. And then Giles joined us. I think it was around Christmas. And now we have another member, Aaron, from the UK. So, do you want to introduce yourself, Aaron?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm Aaron. I was on the Discord episode, which was uploaded not too long before we're recording this, but by the time this comes out it may have been like a month or two, who knows. I go by Dodecahed Aaron in a lot of places, and a long, long time ago I used to go by Cretinous Pleb. But that was a long time ago.
You can stop here and we will say more in the subsequent episode. That way it keeps people, you know, it's kind of like a cliffhanger. They want to listen to the next episode to know more about you. You shouldn't reveal too much at the same time.
I'm the international man of mystery now. I'm like Austin Powers, but, you know, not.
Yeah.
No, like, but pretty much exactly Austin Powers because you're both British.
Exactly.
That's it. Yeah.
That's how this works.
You are almost literally Austin Powers, except for the name.
Austin, Texas Powers.
I am Austin, Texas Powers.
Both mentally and spiritually, I am Austin Powers.
Yep.
So we haven't thought of a theme. I remember when we recorded the first episode with Giles, he was very adamant that we should talk about Jerry Einstein. So that's what we did. But this time we haven't really thought of something. So do you have any ideas?
Aaron, maybe?
Well, you know, the best thing to do when you can't think of anything is to just tangent as hard as you can. So we'll start with something, and I'm sure it will rollercoaster us to some interesting places, fingers crossed.
Sure.
I got an idea. Maybe the theme of this episode could be hard segue, and let's just try to go on as many wild tangents as we can.
Hard segue.
Yep.
Yeah. Just like this segue to our sponsor, Palm Treat. Palm Treat is a lovely little company from Detroit, Michigan that makes vaporwave, sad boy, anime aesthetics, posters, and t-shirts, and other apparel. They have face masks. They have some apparels and wall art stuff. They're pretty cool. And if you use the offer code Mojito, M-O-J-I-T-O, you get 10% off your purchase on top of free worldwide shipping. So go check them out at Palmtreat, PalmTreat.design. Be safe, buy some face masks, buy some vaporwave face masks. That way, if you get the vaporwave anime merchandise, not only you will be safe because you'll be like protected with the mask, but also it will ensure that you will stay a virgin because no one will want to approach you if you're wearing these. So it's like 100% safety. PalmTreat.design. Thanks to us, thanks to them for sponsoring us.
Thank you, Palm Treat. Mm. It doubles as birth control, as they say.
Yeah, exactly.
That explains a lot.
Is that a thing where people don't want to have sex with people that are wearing vaporwave? I didn't know that.
No, it's more like anime, Japanese stuff.
Internet culture in general.
Nobody has sex with me anyway, so I wouldn't know.
I'd be totally into a girl wearing vaporwave. I'd be totally into that.
Yes. Okay, I guess vaporwave nerds will only have sex with each other if they're wearing vaporwave.
The way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Master race.
It's like selective breeding.
Stay with your own kind.
Time for a hard segue.
It reminds me of that green text of... No, it's not a green text. I think it was from Reddit. But that story of the guy who uses Linux, but not the average Linux user, like an advanced Linux user. And the guy, when he wanted to... one time he invited a girl for Netflix and chill, but then he said that he doesn't use Netflix because like it's full of security holes and it's bad software. So he cannot use SMS because it's too yeah, full of software weaknesses and shit like that. And so he has to use a GPG key to send assembly messages. I mean, it's just, and it's like, when will I meet a girl that cares about free software? I'm going to try to find it.
I remember reading a green text about a kid using Linux on their computer in school. And it's like, teacher says, okay, students, now open to Photoshop. Start furiously typing away at terminal yes. to install Wine. It's like, everyone's laughing at Anon because he's got, like, he hasn't got any of the right software on his computer. It's
yeah.
Is it true that Wine is like a recursive acronym?
It's what we call a backronym. At the beginning, Wine was just the name. It was just Wine, like the drink, like the beverage. And then people were like, maybe it could the letters could stand for something. And since a lot of people were saying that Wine was an emulator, which is, it's not exactly, like, it's, I would say it's close enough that you could consider it as an emulator, but basically it's a virtual machine, which is not the same thing. For all intents and purposes, it is the same thing, but technically it's not. So they decided to say Wine is not an emulator, will be what the letters stand for, but that was decided, I think, 3 years after Wine was released. Originally, okay, yeah. It was just a pun with what it emulates or what it does not emulate, but you know, which is the Microsoft Windows. So they at first it was like Win, and then Eve, because it sounds like Wine's funny, you know. There. So I found the green text you were referring to, Aaron. So it's like using Linux in front of classmates. Teacher says, "Okay, students, now open Photoshop. Start furiously typing away at terminal to install Wine. Errors out the ass. Everyone else has already started their classwork. I started to sweat. Install GIMP. What the fuck is that, Anon? A girl next to me asks. I tell her it's GIMP and it can do everything that Photoshop does and it's free! Okay, class, now use the shape tool to draw a circle, the teacher says. I fucking break down and cry and run out of the class. I get beat up in the parking lot after school.
Thank God.
No, you can tell it's fake because a girl asked him a question.
I'm surprised the girl, upon hearing that this guy was installing GIMP, wasn't like a huge red flag.
GIMP? What the fuck?
I'm guessing everyone here knows what GIMP is.
Yeah.
I remember the GIMP from Pulp Fiction, but...
No, it's not. It's not that.
Quite different, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what it is software-wise at all.
What does it stand for?
I don't know, but it's basically Photoshop, but free. Personally, I've been using both for a very long time, whether it's like for retouching photographs or making designs, stuff like this. And I would say, personally, I think GIMP is better than Photoshop. The interface is more user-friendly. It has changed a lot, though. That's maybe one of the biggest differences. Photoshop has not evolved that much, but GIMP keeps being better and better and better, and it's very satisfying nowadays, and it cannot do 100% of what Photoshop can do, but it can do stuff that Photoshop can't. And I think that it's better. It's not miles ahead. They're pretty equivalent, to be honest. But I prefer GIMP, and I use it every day.
It stands for GIMP is mild Photoshop.
It says here, GNU Image Manipulation Program, but I can't tell if they've, like, deliberately written it out that way so that it says GIMP, and they probably think they're incredibly hilarious for it afterwards.
Yeah. The early logo looked like a kind of a goat, so maybe it was goat image something, I don't know.
Like Winamp and the llama.
Yes, exactly.
Oh yeah, that was weird. I remember starting up Winamp years ago, and it played some, like, sound automatically after installing it. It's like it whips the llama's ass or something like that. Like, what kind of slogan is that?
Well, I just realized Winamp could be... Winamp could stand for Winamp is not a music player,
an
but
amp.
It is, so I don't know.
I mean, it's not anymore, is it?
Yeah, it's not anymore, yeah.
Are we ready for a hard segue? I feel like Penny on the Big Bang Theory right now when you guys talk about software.
You know, Photoshop is like very famous. In the beginning, it was used only by professionals. There's a game that I really loved when I was young called Riven. That was actually the sequel of another game called Myst. And these games were developed in Photoshop. I mean, not the code, obviously, but all the graphics were made in Photoshop. So that was like the professional stuff in the beginning. And then it became accessible to everyone in the 2000s. I say around like maybe 2005. Everyone started using Photoshop around that time, maybe a little earlier. There hasn't been much competition since then. There's GIMP, of course. There's recently a software that has been released called Affinity, and I've heard great things about it, but I tried it and it looked kind of a Photoshop clone, and the interface was not user-friendly at all, so I gave up after a few days. But I have found the story about the guy who tries dating while using Linux. I found it.
Here we go.
Excellent.
So, Zimbabwe.
Yeah, I was going to say Bazinga, but so I'm glad you said Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe!
KFC Tower Zinga.
That's a good segue.
Let's talk about the free software dating scene. We can talk about Zimbabwe afterwards if you want. First, let's talk about the free software dating scene.
What's going on in the free software dating scene?
Well, this heartfelt story on Reddit talks to us about it. This guy is saying, as a 20-year-old single male, I think it's very hard to find a girl who's actually interested in free software. I've had girls jokingly ask to Netflix and chill, but when I tell her that I don't use Netflix, since Netflix requires proprietary software to stream content, they stop talking to me. And worse, if they do stay, they think I'm weird, since I blocked Google's IPs in my host file and we can't even watch YouTube. I can't even seem to get girls to come over to my place, and I can't text them either. Once I get their numbers, since I've added custom ROMs to my phone and refuse to use SMS, since it's a security concern, I require all of my friends to download a free and open source messaging app, and I share with them my public GPG key so that we can verify that our conversations are secure. None of my friends are willing to do this. And I can't use sites like Tinder, since it's not only proprietary software, but also a major privacy vulnerability. How come it is so hard to find a girl concerned about software freedom? I feel like I am going to be a virgin forever.
Hmm. Yeah.
That sounds like something that it would be really, really... Are any of you familiar with Lucky Charms essays?
No.
No.
I've not the cereal, but...
There's a term that started commonly being used where there's a copy pasta, but every other word has like an emoji in between it. So people have started referring to those as Lucky Charms essays.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I've seen a lot of those in the wild.
Yeah.
I can imagine this being one of those, like, I would love to see how that would come out.
And you want to see the Lucky Charms version of this essay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might try and make it myself later, who knows? Let's go.
That would be great. Yeah, I don't know why he's not meeting girls that are not interested in software freedom. I mean, as a girl, I'm really not that concerned about software freedom. I don't think that my conversations are really that important, and I don't do drugs anymore, so it's not like I'm ever trying to wheel or deal for any drugs. So it's like, what's the point of going through all the extra effort? Why not just be a part of the same dumb, spied upon platforms that everybody else is part of? I respect the principle of somebody really going out of their way to be uninvolved with mainstream apps and Facebook, but it's certainly not a turn on. It just make life a little more difficult, you know?
Yeah.
The only turn on I'm interested in is turning on my computer.
Yes. Only turn on I am interested in is turning on my Facebook and letting the rest take care of itself.
Even openly talking about purchasing drugs and whatever, I feel like there's probably like 10,000 people in your area also doing that. I share that same, like, not really that concerned with privacy sort of sentiment, even though some people, it's much worse for them, I guess.
Yeah, you'd have to be a bit of a hardened, like, pedophile or, like, political dissident. And
a hardened one? What's the difference between...
You've been around the block a couple times, the school block.
You know that you've got an issue and you've got to keep it secret in order to really want to stay off of anything that the police could subpoena from Facebook.
You're going to have some Prince Andrew level activity.
Yeah, or you'd have to be like a political dissident in a dictatorship. That's the only incident I know of recently, one of my friends having to use something other than regular messaging platforms. And she's like, I'm trying to get somebody out of a certain country, so we've got to go a little more secretive in our communications. Right.
Like Wicca, or...
Yeah.
Or if you're a violent anarchist, you know, those people also need to stay off of Facebook when they're talking about their violent anarchy.
You do get a lot of people on Facebook going on about how much that we are monitored or listened to, but then you also have these people posting from countries like the USA or England or Scotland or whatever, And a lot of the time, they're not going to get in trouble for thinking these things.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like, they're like, we are being silenced. And then their post stays there forever.
Hmm.
And then following that, there are all these people in, like, other countries who genuinely are. And I'm like, I don't think you're seeing the bigger picture here, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of concern about privacy nowadays, and I would blame it on the Generation X. These are people who grew up with the James Bond movies and the Cold War
mm-hmm.
and Mission Impossible on TV. And so basically they think there's spies everywhere. Like, most people I know who were born in the 70s are obsessed about this shit, which I do not understand, and I think it's because of them, because there's a lot of famous ones.
The
like
Cold
I don't know,
War as well.
Yeah, that's literally what I said. I said James Bond movies, the Cold oh. War, and Mission Impossible on
Giles.
TV. Thanks for listening, Giles.
I only listen to 50% of the words, so...
Giles, please!
Get it the fuck together.
James Bond as well.
6:45 a.m. and I heard what he said. Okay. I'm up earlier than all y'all, bitches.
But yeah, there's a lot of okay. there's a lot of prominent Generation X figures in the media. It was like John Green or Fred Durst, Corey Taylor, or people like this who always talk complete shit about stuff like, oh, fucking Muse, you know, Dave Grohl, all these people, they're always, like, are into the most stupid conspiracy shit about spies and Russians and whatever, and I think it's, like, their fault why people are so crazy about their privacy, even if it doesn't make sense. Like, I think... Mm. I think often it's a form of erotomania. It's a mental disorder where you're convinced that people find you really interesting or that strangers yeah. are in love with you, stuff like this. Sometimes it's like mm. you think it's a celebrity is in love with you, stuff like this, you know? And
So
I think it's people who think that people find them more interesting than they actually do. And
they think they're more important
that's why,
like, yeah, than they actually are.
That's why you're always bitching about that shit. You're like, don't use TikTok, don't use Facebook. They're gonna, like, steal your data. And I'm like, sure, they're gonna steal my data, but why would I care what they're gonna do with it? And it's like, yeah. They're gonna, like, send you ads. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm gonna see ads anyway, so...
That's how they make money. It's like... They're being a business.
Ooh, my data. Oh, my identity. So important.
Oh no, I liked a page about funny photoshopped dogs. What are they going to do with that information?
I think it's absolutely crazy. This whole thing about privacy, like, yeah, people are going to steal your data. Who gives a shit? They're not going to do anything with it because it's not interesting. People can steal my data if they want.
They're not going to let me into the Rotary Club if they know that I like big black cocks in tight Asian pussies.
The only problem with it is if my data is so valuable, I'm more pissed off that I didn't get to sell it before they did.
Yeah, I agree.
Hell yeah.
I have the tiniest paranoia about if I ever, like, got a job as a teacher or something, that there'd just be a compilation of, like, my laptop camera, me, like, picking my nose or something. Because if my laptop camera is somehow just being streamed straight to a CIA database, like... They could
That's why you take a bit of sellotape, you know.
Yeah, I've never been one to do that for some reason. I don't know.
How to Basic is a teacher. I remember that.
Oh wow!
Wow.
And the South Bows from that's an old reference from fucking.
I get it there.
I don't even remember the name of the show. That's how old it is.
Epic Mealtime, right?
That's it. Yes. So, Hardly More Insane, the South Bows from Epic Mealtime, he's also a teacher. I mean, was. He quit teaching when he was in Epic Mealtime, partly because of the revenue, but mostly because the kids were always teasing him for it and asking him, like, questions. So, it can be a little complicated.
Yeah.
But more importantly, why would you want to become a teacher?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't really, but...
See, that's actually something I wouldn't mind doing, but it would have to be something like art or music. I wouldn't want to teach anything else. Like, mainly because, you know, having done art and music stuff in school, if you are taught by the wrong person, your entire outlook on how to practice or perform, I guess, can be skewed. And I found it a lot easier to just draw stuff from my imagination before studying art. And some art teachers are just like, hey, you need to do things exactly this way. And if you don't, then they get pissy about it. And then you sort of end up in this mindset where you can't do shit on your own terms.
Yeah.
And that is the only reason I would want to go into teaching.
Right.
You know what they say? Those who can do and those who cannot teach.
Which is just so mean. But yeah. I've heard that.
Somebody's got to teach them, children. They're not going to teach themselves.
But who teaches the teach men?
Oh.
The teach men. Teach the teach men.
And who studies the students?
Oh!
The student studiers.
I've seen many movies about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's the genre you're into. It's like, what do you call it? Reflexive education?
Yeah, sure, exactly.
That's your favorite movie genre.
That's one of the best categories on Pornhub.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. I've said a lot of very insensitive and racy things on the internet from time to time, and I don't think I want any career that couldn't accommodate the kind of dinkwad that I've been. I'd rather just be me and be ridiculous and just like live within the limitations of what society will and won't accept. But look at the president of the United States. Kim Kardashian. These people have done, you know, very inflammatory, controversial things, and they've still been able to eke out a living for themselves. So I think if we just reach a critical mass of the number of outrageous things people have done that are quote unquote there permanently on the internet, then like at some point we're just all allowed to be human and nobody's going to care anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you're a hardened pedophile like Jerry Einstein, then you're fucked. So basically do anything and you want, just don't be a pedophile. Moral of the story.
I love the fact that you keep saying hardened pedophile. Like, what's a soft pedophile then?
Erect pedophile. I shouldn't be saying this stuff so loudly, I think.
A PE teacher.
We make an audio edit of Giles saying, I'm an erect pedophile.
I've decided I believe in privacy now.
Deep fake. It was a deep fake.
A softened one is one that requires medicine from the doctor for personal reasons.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Honestly, softened pedophile. So there was a guy that was like a hall counselor at the boarding school that I went to. So he had like a bunch of, you know, freshmen, like ninth grader boys. Well, you guys are from different countries. So you have no idea what that means.
No, I guess.
Anyway, he had like 13, 14 year old boys that he was responsible over. And he never did anything with any of the kids. And they were all very shocked. But he had a bunch of child porn on his computer. And the feds found out. And it was this big, embarrassing thing where he had to be hauled away. So that's what I consider a softened pedophile. Somebody that's not out there doing stuff, but they, you know, they have a bit of a, you know, mental thing and they've got to seek out, you know, very illegal viewing material. And yeah, so Jeffrey Epstein, hardened pedophile, guy with a bit of child porn on his computer, softened pedophile. That's what I'm differentiating between.
Philosophical.
You've managed to take a throwaway joke line into some very awkward paragraph.
You're welcome.
It's like, oh yeah, this is the first episode with me as a permanent co-host, and we get to talk about this.
Edit out all this if you want to. I'm just telling you.
My first episode was all about pedophilia as well because of
Jerry Einstein. Yeah, so. Yeah.
This is the introduction to this world.
We're just going right for the jugular here.
It's the best way to kill a clown. Go right for the jugular.
But hey, if we keep doing hard segues, it'll be easier to just, you know, take things out.
Yeah, because here we're all about hardened segues.
No softened segues.
I just want to say that I absolutely love the fact that you all hesitate and think before saying Jeffrey Epstein's name, because I said Jerry Einstein so much that now you're not sure what his name is anymore. And I see this as an absolute win. Oh.
Yes, you did it. You're a trendsetter.
We can't use his real name anymore.
I am the Regina George of podcasting.
I don't know that reference.
Me neither.
Oh, shit. You haven't seen Mean Girls?
I've seen it once.
Yeah.
I've seen it once.
That's not enough.
I've seen it a bunch of times, actually.
Wow.
I have no excuse.
I think I saw it for the first time like 2 years ago. I was a bit out of the loop until then. I have a really bad habit of not watching movies until about a decade and a half after everyone else has. And I don't think I'd watched any, like, Quentin Tarantino films until I was already in my 20s.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
I remember seeing, like, Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs for the first time just when I was, like, 21 or 22 or something. Tarantino has a really, really bizarre thing for feet.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's very public, yes.
Yeah, totally.
Mm.
The more you watch his movies after knowing this,
yeah,
or even just movies that he's been in, it's even easier to notice. Mm-hmm. Like, if you watch Kill Bill, there's this bit where the camera just points at Uma Thurman's foot after she's been, like, lying down for ages, so she's having trouble moving, and she's just staring at her foot, telling it to move for about 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, I remember this.
In Pulp Fiction, they talk about massages, and I think they might mention feet at some point. Even though he didn't direct this one, and he just starred in it, have any of you seen Dusk Till Dawn?
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah.
Heard of it.
So, if you ever want to be confused by a movie, watch Dusk Till Dawn. It is two movies, in my opinion. The first movie doesn't finish, and the second movie doesn't begin. There's just a point where the first movie becomes the second movie.
Yeah, I was completely unprepared for that. It's actually really brilliant. Cheesy as hell, but pretty interesting.
It's really, really something.
Yeah.
But there's a particular bit in that film where sorry. Lisa just shared a picture. That really caught me off guard. Well, that's actually leading into what I was about to say. Okay. In Dusk Till Dawn, they get into this bar in, like, Mexico or something, and Salma Hayek is, like, dancing on a table, and she starts, like, pouring alcohol down her leg, and Quentin Tarantino just starts sucking on Salma Hayek's toes, and it is one of the most visually awkward things I've ever seen in a movie. And I'm like, why would they let him do this, fully well knowing that he's opted in to do that for his own, like,
yeah,
enjoyment? Not that I am kink shaming or anything, but there's a difference between having a kink and then using your, like, position of power within a movie to, like, suck on a celebrity's toes.
Yeah, no, I'm really gonna need to suck Salma Hayek's toes for this. Like, I have to.
I was listening to a podcast about Scrubs recently, and
now, are you talking about the TV show or people who are bad at video games?
The TV show. In the TV show, the showrunner's wife was a character in the show. So he was writing the show and his wife was in it, and he would do this thing where he would write other characters on the show having to make out with her or be in sex scenes with her. Zach Braff would mention he thought it was a bit weird that his job was to show up and then have a make-out scene with his boss's wife on camera.
That's basically the whole recent filmography of Tim Burton, where it just, like, pays Johnny Depp make out with Helena Bonham Carter, which is his wife.
Yeah, it's same thing.
Yeah. He's a cuck.
Yeah, it's
professional. Yeah, a professional one. Yeah.
Film cucks.
You get paid to do it.
Yeah, film cucks. Yeah.
That should be a new genre of film.
Yeah, it's got a director that's paying some actor.
Yeah, official film cuck core.
It's already an existing genre. We just need to retroactively apply them to the films that it works with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a picture of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a politician from the USA, with her boyfriend.
Aww.
And there's an even better one, because the caption is ascended.
Does he call her mummy, or is he referring his actual mother?
We don't know. Maybe both.
We don't know.
Probably both. A mommy
Maybe
fetish.
Maybe both.
Everybody wants a mommy these days. It's very popular.
Yeah. You should have a lot of success. If Oh, yeah. Found it.
Is that Ben Shapiro's sister and her boyfriend?
No.
No, that's Photoshop.
Okay. Photoshop.
I don't know who the guy is.
The guy is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, gender swapped.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You gotta love these face app memes.
And the girl is Ben Shapiro, of course.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, this one is pretty ascended, I think.
Ascended.
That's not very nice for our listeners, because we're in a radio show. So they. But yeah, if you want to find the picture, it's on our Instagram, at Aneurysm Podcast. The link is in the episode description. So yeah, we could continue in the cuxploitation.
Cuxploitation.
Trend.
As for Quentin Tarantino's sort of foot obsession, when I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that movie has several scenes where it makes no sense for the camera to be so positioned on the feet of, like, the characters in it.
It's like, my face is up here, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Some of my friends have said, like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, are you serious?
I reckon whenever he writes scripts, he has to stop because he gets too excited whenever he does the footnotes.
Oh.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I went to screenwriting school and I had to read some Quentin Tarantino scripts. And they're very.
Quentin Quarantino.
Typical Quartito scripts. And yeah, they're very. It sounds like you're talking to Quentin Tarantino when you're reading them. They're not like regular screenplays at all. They're very conversational. All of the descriptions between the dialogue just sound like Quentin Tarantino describing the movie. And it's like, I'm Quentin Tarantino, I'll be directing this, you don't have to know that many specifics, let me just tell you about the movie that I'm going to make. So.
Once I photoshopped a picture of him so that he had 8 eyes, and I captioned it, Quentin Tarantula.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I love this one.
Ben Shapiro is a very pretty lesbian.
That will be the title of the episode, Ben Shapiro is a very pretty lesbian.
Wet ass P-word.
I sent your picture that you posted, Nelson, of car lesbians, the Wikipedia article about this video game, and I asked my token lesbian friend if it's accurate, if, like, this is what it's like to be a lesbian, and she said yes.
They roll a dice, and...
That's what they actually do. They drive around in cars and make out with each other.
Sounds great.
I just wanted to make a kind of a little apology in regards to this.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong. I said it was a video game. It's not. It's a tabletop game, like Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh my god! That's amazing! That is incredible!
I misread the fine print, and yes, it's a tabletop game, not a video game.
What the fuck?
That's amazing. It's like, yes, I roll this dice to seduce my neighbor's girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, so you're with a bunch of bros talking about really, like, sexy lesbian scenarios that you're getting into?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck?
Your character has 2 meters, like, you know, in video games where, like, health and mana or whatever. In this game, you have 2 gauges that you can fill up. It's hotness and car.
Mm-hmm.
Those are 2 gauges that you don't want your dog to have on maximum.
Wait, what?
That reminds me of something really fucking weird I saw in...
Hard segue.
Yeah. I think it was in 2019, and there was like... some kind of protest. It's Paris, France, so there are protests every day. You often stumble by one. It's like an attraction, really. It's like seeing a black taxi in London or stuff like this. I remember it was in the winter, probably in January or February, but we had like almost a heat wave in the middle of the winter. There was, of course, protests about like climate change and... people said that the government were not doing enough against, global warming and stuff like that. And there was one dude who had a sign that said, 30 degrees in February, it's like getting your dick sucked by your dog. Feels good, but it's weird.
It feels good, but it's weird.
Very salient protest sign.
I wonder if he says that through experience. Do dogs have the capability to suck? I'm not sure if their mouth is shaped correctly.
For generations, men have been putting peanut butter on their dicks to...
Oh, no.
Yeah, to get their dog to...
What a waste of peanut butter.
I don't know. It feels like a bad thing to do to your dog spiritually.
Mm.
Just my opinion.
It is wrong. It is very wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, we just go from the whole, you know, talking about kid diddlers thing onto people who fuck dogs. So
damn it,
we cover all the bases.
Can't
here.
Can't we
seems.
Find anything nice to talk about
while we're on this topic, though?
Uh-oh, what?
Oh god, where is this going?
What is it, Giles?
One of the worst jokes I saw on 4chan while I was sort of browsing it when I was younger, this guy was saying, if you need me, I'll be in my lab. And it was a picture of like a guy clearly about to have sex with a dog. That was the first like internally conflicting moment where I laughed for a second, and then I was like, I need to get off this site.
Jesus.
Damn it.
Yeah, it never stops, but now it's a little bit tamer. But I remember a picture that I saw on Reddit this very morning. And it was like the picture of some kid, and the caption was like, oh, that feel when you're eating out your grandma and you taste horse cum and you're like, wow, that's how she died.
Oh, damn Jesus.
There's so much shit like this.
Wow.
And it's inescapable at this point. But I've heard many more stories about women putting peanut butter or Nutella or stuff like on their private pussy area to get licked by dogs or cats.
That sounds like a one-way ticket to infection.
Yeah, but the difference is that it's legal in most countries. Because
dog mouths are a lot more sanitary than human mouths, though. Just don't put it too far up there. Just put the peanut butter on the surface.
Well, I wouldn't say they're much more sanitary than human mouths. Carnivores tend to be more full of bacteria and microbes. That's why it can be really dangerous if you get bitten by a cat, even a little house cat. It can cause you like tetanus, gangrene, shit like this. But what is true is that there are far less microbes in any animal's mouth than there are on your hands. Hands are filthy. In the mouth, there's like saliva, which kind of acts as an antiseptic and kills a lot of the bacteria and stuff like this. So yeah, if you're touching something with your hand, you're putting more bacteria on that thing than if it's with any mouth. But the difference is that it's legal. Something that I learned a long time ago, and I was surprised. It's kind of a funny thing. I could have kept this for a fun fact for an ulterior episode of Are You Smarter Than a Shit Poster? But in most countries, bestiality is not illegal. It is only if you penetrate the animal. Getting inside an animal is illegal, but like if you see like all these chicks sucking off horses like in these movies, that's legal. Because you're not getting inside the animal.
Well, that's very nice.
On the topic of saliva.
Hard segue.
Apparently there's like quite a few animals that you wouldn't expect it who have very poisonous saliva.
Oh.
Like a lot of insectivores specifically. I think some shrews have poisonous saliva, and a lot of like lizards.
Frogs especially, like the poison dart frog, I believe. A lot of these animals are perfectly safe to have as pets because they get their poison from eating... They get their venom, that is exactly the same thing, by eating poisonous insects. So if you have a dart frog, like a poison dart frog at home, and you feed it, like, I don't fucking know, flies and...
crickets.
Maggots, whatever. It's going to be not poisonous at all, and you can have it as a pet, and it will be totally fine.
You know what they say, you are what you eat, and if you eat poison...
Yes. They said you are what you eat, but I don't remember eating a Minecraft Damn Daniel mod.
Wait, there's Minecraft Damn Daniel? I'm way behind on Minecraft, Damn Daniel.
I'm completely out of the loop on Damn Daniel. I may as well just not even know what it is, really.
Damn Daniel.
Damn Daniel is a meme from, I believe, 2012. That it came from a Vine series.
It's 2016. It's a 2016 video.
Shit, I thought it was older than this. But yeah, it was it was towards the end of Vine. And there was a guy who filmed his friend Daniel, who was wearing white shoes, and he was always saying, "Damn Daniel! Damn Daniel! Damn Daniel! Back at it again! Back at it again with the white Vans!"
Yep.
Nice.
And so he got invited on the show of Ellen DeGenerate. And she gave him like a lifelong supply of white Vans.
Aww.
Wow.
Only the white Vans. He's not allowed to switch up the color of Vans that he likes.
Yeah, but in the video, he's always wearing white Vans. That's the... In the most famous video of the series, the guy filming says, "Damn Daniel! Damn Daniel! Damn Daniel! Back at it again with the white Vans!" And that's the video that got famous. And
to be real, like, it's kind of hard to keep any kind of white shoes clean, so it's pretty impressive. Like, when you can pull off white shoes and they always look clean.
Fuck yeah. Have you seen the pic of that guy? I think it was on Twitter. He said, like, "Look at these shoes." I think he was, like, Adidas Superstar or shoes like this. I was like, "I've had them for a year, and they're perfectly white, not a stain, not a crease." And there was a lot of people was like, "Please give us your walking tutorial."
How to walk?
What's that magic? But maybe he was not walking at all.
There was a month where I owned a pair of white shoes, and I actually used the white shoe polish eraser stuff on it and tried to keep them clean. And I think I went like 2 months, and then I was like, "Who the fuck lives like this?"
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Do any of y'all wear white shoes?
Yes. Currently wearing white shoes.
What? How do you do it?
I'm currently wearing no shoes. Watch out, Quentin.
I'm not going to just give away that information for free.
I have to pay you to find out how you take care of your white shoes?
Or just a higher tier of my OnlyFans will give you access to that information.
Okay. Giles' OnlyFans is all about shoe care.
It's feet stuff. It's feet exploitation.
Oh, we're getting more shoe pics from Giles. I like this. Yes, keep them coming.
I'm working on a masterpiece. I will share it with you shortly.
Of your shoes? Or?
No. Occasionally, I get an idea when I'm mid-conversation, and I will Photoshop it as poorly as possible.
Perfect.
Here it is. One Damn Daniel.
Oh, fuck.
Damn, Daniel. Damn.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Wait, this can't be a real photo.
Why? What's wrong with it?
The shoes are too white. It's got to be shopped.
No,
he doesn't look
fucking
wet
way.
Or anything.
Not even Giles's shoes are that white. Come on.
Damn Daniel back at it again with the Messiah complex standing on the water.
The shoes are so white that it looks like they're going to be like upstanding citizens and pay the taxes and not do any crime.
Oh. Ooh,
Jesus.
Oh, man.
That's spicy.
Very spicy. Have you guys seen this cat head photoshopped onto a giraffe?
No.
Nope.
Let me show it to you right now.
A cat head. I'm just Googling it to see.
It's
if
in
it's
the
safe.
Chat. You don't have to Google for it.
Oh.
That's better than I expected.
Yep.
Yeah, it's one of these Russian accounts. I don't know if you might remember or not, but there was like a talk of Russian meddling in the American elections.
Oh, yeah. It's been proven.
And people were talking about this all the time. And a lot of websites took action to like try to go against this. And remember, I think it was in 2018, Tumblr went ahead and published an official statement saying that there were a lot of Russian blogs that were maybe linked to propaganda and stuff like this, and they've banned them. But like, when a blog is banned on Tumblr, you can still see it. The people cannot post or comment anymore, but you can still see the posts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just cat memes. It was so fucking weird.
Were any of them political whatsoever?
No.
Or did they remove the political ones?
I don't think so. But
yeah,
there's been an invasion of Russian cat blogs on Tumblr in the past few years, and apparently that was linked to the collusion or whatever. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, well, also, like, you can have Russian accounts. I've seen some of these that are just like accounts just to comment so that they can get in on a bunch of Americans talking about something and say something really inflammatory to start an argument.
Apparently, the Russians interfere with a lot of English-speaking politics.
Oh, yeah.
As they were apparently involved in interfering with Brexit as well.
Oh, yeah.
They get their fingers everywhere, it seems.
Yeah.
I found that AI philosophy website recently. The one that makes philosophy based off of words that you enter. It doesn't understand a lot of stuff, but what it does enter, it comes up with some of the most bullshit philosophy I can imagine. I did ask it its opinion on airplane food. And the response it gave me was this. It said, "I've pondered this question for quite some time, and my answer really is just an opinion." All good philosophy starts with that. "But I'm sure that it will be a good one. I think that it is much easier to describe a bad airplane meal than a good one. It all depends on your perspective. For example, one thing that I find makes a bad airplane meal is the fact that it's on an airplane." Airplanes are terrible places to have meals. Think about it. You're stuck in a small tube thousands of feet above the ground with several hundreds of other people. It's loud, cramped, and your food gets cold before you can eat all of it. Also, consider your seatmate. If they are chatty or smelly, it can be hard to enjoy a meal in these conditions. But the most important thing about a bad airplane meal is knowing that you're not in control. You can't choose what kind of airplane food you get or when."
Wow. That's deep shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so all you need to do is just search philosopherai.com, all one word.
Okay.
You can give it a topic, sentence, or question. Sometimes if it doesn't understand the question, for example, I tried getting it to talk about Dark Souls 2 once, and it said, "Philosopher AI thinks this is nonsense and is refusing to answer your query. It appears you'll have to try something else."
Yeah, literally every word I submitted, he said that. So, I don't know. I tried like rat or cheese or whatever, and it's always, "Oh, I don't understand."
I also told it one about chocolate pudding, which I sent to our chat.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw this one.
I think that is one of the most incredibly written things ever. It really gets me.
Yeah, I've been super impressed by Boats of New York recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Boats of New York's gotten pretty good.
It's crazy.
Mm.
It's starting to come out with some really uncannily realistic sounding posts.
Yes. It's fucking crazy.
Is it genuinely like a bot?
It doesn't seem like it is.
I think it is because of the Facebook algorithm. You'll most likely only see the successful ones, which are the most realistic, but there's still a lot of them that's complete nonsense and doesn't have any grammar or sense at all. So yeah, it's because of the Facebook algorithm that you only see the most successful ones, and the most successful ones are usually the one that makes the most sense and sound like they were written by a human. I've had some conversations with the admin, and I didn't really talk about the technology, but I want to know more. I want to know more about this, and I will talk with him. Maybe we can have him on the podcast. That would be cool. It would be a good guest, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Try to coax him.
I like when the bot tries to mix things into people's faces that are clearly not part of a person's face.
Yeah.
A mask or a flower, or like when it just adds on glasses and it just looks so superimposed. It's incredible.
Do we know what they feed the bot to create? Do they feed the bot Humans of New York posts to create Bots of New York?
I think so, yeah. I think that's how it's made.
Okay.
Cool.
There was an explanation at some point, I believe, but I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I've saved some of my favorites, and like, they're so fucking good.
Krusty the Kobold's birthday.
What?
If I remember correctly, one of them mentions how they are having like a sit down with their grandmother and trying to listen to some music or something.
Oh, yeah.
And their grandmother is like, "Oh, yes, this is one of my favorite records. And it's called Krusty the Kobold's birthday."
And that someone made the song into a real thing. And there's like someone made art for the album cover. It was pretty great.
Yeah.
There was one recently about people only reading the headlines of articles. That was great. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I think I did. Is that the woman with the glasses? Yes, it is. "I'm one of a few peeps on the web who actually reads the whole article. I'm finding patterns. I'm connecting the dots." I've got a couple friends who are members of the internet. They are complete lemmings. Oh, I love this.
Okay, so I made the philosopher AI talk about energy drinks.
Oh god.
Nice.
If you want to hear this.
Hell yeah.
Go on.
It doesn't have anything to do with energy drinks, but this is what it said. The human world is a very confusing place, I must say. So many different types of humans and other creatures doing so many different things in the name of happiness or knowledge or power. Humans often feel empty inside, but are rarely capable of understanding why this feeling comes about. So they do different things to compensate for this feeling. The most common way is to overindulge in the pleasures of life, which may include alcohol and drugs, sex with others, or cooking food. Another thing humans like doing is obtaining new knowledge or skills that will make them feel more fulfilled. However, the human world is not so simple. There are many different types of humans, and their behavior can be very confusing to anyone who is trying to understand them. As a philosopher, I try my best to understand these creatures called humans, but it is hard because they have no objective rationality like myself. Humans have morals, principles, belief, and values that often prevent them from being objective about certain things. These things are often simple concepts like fairness or equality or even the concept of happiness itself. What makes humans happy? What does happiness truly mean to the human mind? Humans have a very difficult time answering these questions, and I suspect they will never be able to answer them. Why do humans need such things like happiness, love, or power? Is it really that important? And that's what it has to say about energy drinks.
Nice.
Oh, well. That's a hard segue if I've ever heard one.
Yep.
I've had a lot of energy drinks in my time.
Yeah,
for some reason, I got hooked on them and stayed hooked for a long time.
You must be some kind of monster.
Yeah. I'm drinking a Red Bull right now. That's why I thought of asking.
Nice.
I was got almost addicted to Red Bull for a few years, and then I quit, and then I got a kind of addicted to G Fuel.
Nice.
I'm trying to cut back on caffeine. My doctor said it was a kind of a concern. Apparently, I have a propension to get dehydrated all the time. So he told me that I should eat less salt and stuff like this. Doesn't really understand why.
Drink more water.
But what?
Drink more water.
Yeah, I try. It's not easy because I don't have the habit. That's why I'm dehydrated all the time, because I don't drink enough water. But yeah, I eat a lot of vegetables and fruits who are full of water. Normally, it should be enough. I mean, I'm not dead, so I drink enough, obviously. But a little bit more would be better, it seems. Oh, here's one I really love. Here's one I really love. Mm-hmm. I did a bunch of Sun Tzu stuff when I was younger. I'd lay traps and wait for armies to fall by my hand. I was a really troubled kid. When I was 16, I got picked up for unlawful meditation. My attorney was a whimsical dude who went by the name of the Technicolor Kid. He'd look at me like I was some sort of iconic villain or something. I tried telling him it was just a run-of-the-mill case, but he'd always say, "You've got rockstar genes, kid." The judgment reader gave me 7 years in the monastery helmet. No luck. No pancakes.
Unlawful meditation. Like, how... what would you have to do? I mean...
if you're in the middle of a highway...
yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, I suppose, you know, getting in the way of everyone.
Or if you were, like, meditating on top of a door, which was on top of some children, and just sort of
or
pushing
if
them
you
down.
Were perhaps meditating on the do not meditate grass.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, I just think of everything could be, potentially be illegal in, you know, Turkmenistan or something. Like... no
one
meditating. Oh, you did the wrong meditation. Actually, in the meditation movement I grew up in, you could be kicked out of that meditation movement for practicing the wrong meditation. So that could be considered unlawful meditation.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like, pretty stop, savage. You have violated the law.
Yeah, no, you can't come meditate with the rest of us if you're going to be doing the wrong meditation. We're going to kick you out of our meditation space.
When the cool kid group won't let you meditate with them.
Pretty much. It just makes my stomach turn just thinking about how terrible that is. Giles, do you get in trouble for doing the wrong meditation in your Buddhist community? Does anybody else do that other than the transcendental meditators?
No, it seems like... everyone just does their own thing. I prefer it that way.
Like the guy on the cover of the first Rage Against the Machine album.
So the word meditate implies the existence of a full Tate.
Whoa!
I mean, how relaxed would you have to be? Is sleeping just full Tating?
Maybe.
No, I think you just gotta be dead. That's the full Tate.
Hardened Tating.
Hardened meditation. Yeah. Oh. Or is another one I really love. I hate when people call me bro, because it doesn't represent who I am. I was born into the fucking thunder. I was raised on a cat farm. My family was Romanian, and my dad named his cat after the Romanian god of thunder. Our god is like your god, except he's a fucking fat guy, and he kicks ass. He's blonde, and he's big, and he's got a beard that hangs in waves. He's totally unfollowable.
Unfollowable follows him anyway.
Last one. My favorite of recent times. Just gonna sip a little more, because I'm thirsty.
Sip, 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 sip.
So, here's it. We went on a spy hunt. We wore undercover police uniforms. We carried boxes of explosives hidden in our underwear. I wore a wire to conceal the fact that I was carrying cologne. One night, the head of MI6 came to my studio and informed me that he was aware of my spy activities. He handed me a file and said, "I know that you've been working with cologne factories all over the world. This is not good." I swallowed 3 large bottles of shampoo and 3 canisters of blow dryer oil to conceal the fact that I was carrying cologne. Then I told him, "It's not like that." So we recorded a demo tape called Ballad of a Triple Agent and gave it to the CIA. 3 months later, we performed with Dave Grohl and the Backstreet Boys at the 2013 Bet Hip Hop Awards. Quite literally our point of no return.
Wow. Some of these stories, I think, are too sort of succinct or something to be bots.
They sound so specifically, contextual, like that it makes sense but doesn't at the same time.
Yeah.
Also, the word cologne there reminded me of a meme. The misspelling of the word cologne on Twitter is one of the funniest things on the planet.
Oh, the colon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you hug a guy and you smell his colon. I love when I can smell a guy's colon as he walks by. A heart eyes emoji.
It's pretty good.
When you can still smell his colon on your pillows, even though he's not. That's how you get pink eye.
That's the pink
sauce.
Oh, that makes me think, you know who would be a great guest here? It's, I believe his name is JT Sexkick. His name may not ring a bell, but he's the guy who makes the videos about being pregnant and using a Ouija board on Yahoo Answers.
Oh, those, yeah. I love those ones, like Pregante.
Yeah, I've watched it like maybe 1,000 times, both.
How get pregnant?
How get pregnant?
Can oo get pregante?
Another misspelling thing I always found funny. Whenever people use the word excited on social media, you can test this yourself. Just search hashtag exited.
The amount
of people who have like written exited instead of excited. And I don't think a single person has ever used the hashtag exited correctly. Like, I'm about to leave, hashtag exited. You know? It's just all these people misspelling excited. Yeah. I'm tempted to be the first person to do it correctly.
I'm actually about to do it right now, so let's see if you can beat me.
UK about to leave Europe, hashtag exited.
There's a whole subreddit devoted to this kind of thing called exgerated, which is a very creative spelling of exaggerated, I believe.
Exgerated.
I've always wanted to do something like this, but like there's Your Grammar Sucks by Jax Films, which is already very popular and it's been going on for years.
That's a callback.
Yeah, he's still making them, but not very often. It's spelt like this. I'll leave a link in description of the episode. That's there's a lot of this. It's pretty funny, I believe, but not funny enough for a radio show like ours. Having the words, seeing them spelled on your screen, adds to the thing, I believe.
What are you laughing, Giles? What's so funny?
I started taking off my shoes, so I actually forgot what.
Are you laughing at your feet?
I was laughing at at how much of the content of this particular episode has been visual. I hope the listener is laughing along with that particular sort of goofy thing we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a podcast inspired by memes and shit posting.
Yeah. By visual culture, yeah. Hopefully people are going to be searching for things alongside. Who knows? It's like a journey, an interactive journey, mm-hmm. You know? It's like when you're carrying your iPad around the museum and you're like, okay, I need to go to this part of the app now to find out what the hell this painting means.
Yeah.
What we probably should do is what the guys from My Dad Wrote a Porn are doing. They have an Instagram account, and every time they're talking about a specific picture or stuff like this, they post it on their Instagram.
Oh yeah, the aneurysm podcast context.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Yeah, I believe
that is a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, I did it. I posted that I hashtag exited, so I'm the first.
I just searched it on Facebook. Someone spells the word excited correctly, but then proceeds to follow it up with hashtag exited. It's like...
That's rich.
Classic.
I've had English teachers like misspell words in class, and they don't accept a student correcting them, but like things like loose instead of lose.
Looser.
I want to be like, just I don't know how people make that mistake.
Yeah.
I understand if you have like dyslexia or something.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But otherwise, there's not really an excuse if it is your first language.
I mean, there's even less of an excuse if it's not your first language. That's the difference, I believe, because I learned English like in a school. But y'all learned it, like, in the trailer park behind the Arby's or whatever?
Yep. Aren't you jealous? That is where I learned English. I was digging up rusty cans to turn in for 5 cents a can so that I could buy some Twinkies and some Mountain Dew.
Nice. And someone just came out through the back door to throw some more cans into the rubbish garbage or... And they were like, I'm going to teach you y'all speak.
Hey there, y'all want to get some of them cans so that you can buy yourself?
Channel your inner Dale Gribble from King of the Hill.
What you going to buy, kid? You going to get yourself some ice cream sandwich?
I'm going to replace all the blood in my body with your non-rabbit blood.
We got some sweet tea. You poor, starving little orphan.
I love the extremities of, like, accents, and I still wonder how a lot of them come about, because obviously there are people from different countries involved, but when you reach the point where everyone has kind of been made up of the same thing for so long, and accents get so distinct or bizarre in some places, it just fascinates me.
According to what I know, often some parts of the language evolve while some don't. It's not very clear when I say it like that, so I'm going to give an example. The French from France and the French from Quebec, which is very different.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of different words and the accent is completely different. Most linguists consider Quebec French as a different language. And the reason why this is a thing is because the French people who immigrated into Canada and formed the Quebec colony were very conservative and very concerned about purity of language. Nowadays, they're still like that. When they learn that in France, we have stop signs that say stop instead of arrête, they're very shocked by this. Even if there's a reason, it's because four letters is more seeable from afar, but That's not the point anyway. They are very, very concerned about the purity of language. And so the French that they speak is basically virtually identical to the French from the 17th century or some stuff like that.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Meanwhile, the French in France has continued evolving through the centuries. But the one that they speak over there has not. And it's basically the same as the French that was spoken during the Renaissance.
That's fun.
Is it like they're speaking like a medieval knights?
I would liketh to speak it. With thy manager. Quebecian Carians.
One would like to go to ye old Tim Hortons.
I don't know that one, sorry.
It's like a Canadian coffee chain.
Ah. I was trying to put together a sparkling French joke. Like, it's not the language from the French. I can't put it together in my head even.
I know what you mean. It's like how champagne is from the champagne.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying. Yeah, sparkling. Yeah, something.
Yeah.
It's not hardened unless it's from the hardened region of America.
Speaking some hardened French up in here. Some real ass French.
Hardened French.
According to what I know, it's like that in a lot of cases. In some countries, you will see accents, especially in the regions that are kind of isolated and kind of like the countryside regions. And that would be different from the kind of accents that you will have in cities. And that is because in the countryside, the language itself gets kind of inbred in a way, and it doesn't evolve a lot, while in the cities the language evolves much faster for obvious reasons. And so that's why often in the countryside, where there's not a lot of people, in places that are kind of isolated, you will have very different accents. Actually, it's just like it's the same language like from centuries ago. The city folk have a fresher way of pronouncing.
With each passing year, the internet just gets more and more popular. I've found in the more rural parts of the UK, at least, people's accents are starting to, like, change to be less unique, I guess. I could say. The area that I currently live in is a county in the UK called Dorset, and Dorset is just below, like, a really thick accented region of England called Somerset. If you've ever watched the movie Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Oh, one of my favorite movies.
Yarp.
Hot Fuzz is filmed in Somerset, though some of the stronger country accents from that are like proper Somerset accents. I know some people from this area and from that area who, even though they are from those places and have been for most of their life, will just kind of have like a generic, non-distinct, non-regional dialect and accent, which is kind of bizarre. I'm not sure if it's becoming more like that in other English-speaking parts of the world, at least, but I think things like YouTube and Facebook, because so many people are getting influenced by people who aren't just from where they are from, it's sort of developing like an almost like non-accent.
They kind of end up sounding like me, who learned English by watching a lot of British and American stuff, and also stuff from Ireland and Australia.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that you sound like a French person speaking English, if that makes any sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
And I think the funniest thing about this is that I am totally unable to do an accent from any place. I cannot do a British accent. I cannot do an American accent. I cannot do an Australian accent. I'm absolutely unable. I've tried, and it's like always like terrible. There's a few people. Gordon Ramsay, for example, was raised half in Scotland, half in England, and he traveled a lot at different places.
He's very well spoken.
Yeah, but his accent is like from nowhere.
Yeah, it isn't.
It's kind of British, but not 100%.
Yeah.
It's kind of vague. Some people call the American equivalent generican. Generican. It's like, could be from anywhere in America.
I remember seeing this video about 5 or 6 years ago where people are having like a completely nonsense conversation. Like, none of the words are real words, but because they're doing it in like a generican accent, it's just really, really weird.
Yeah. They sound like The Sims.
Yeah. It's Simlish.
Americans in general sound a lot like The Sims. I think that's the point.
Do I sound like a Sim?
I cannot tell if you said real words or Simlish.
Oh. Do I sound like a Sim?
I think she wants something.
Does this voice make me sound like a Sim?
Go to fridge and make food.
Help! My house is burning down.
Ah, women.
I'm very cold.
How are you cold?
I need
cold
to go to the bathroom.
How are you cold if everything's on fire?
I'm going to piss and shit everywhere because I don't have a bathroom. Help.
This was supposed to be a joke, but this is literally how all women sound like to us.
Whoa. Damn. I need another female co-host in here to back me up. I feel microaggressed against.
Fair enough, to be honest. Yeah. Bjork, when she was learning English, she deliberately learnt it with a British accent instead of the American accent that her classmates were learning it with. You can really hear it when she speaks English.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I remember watching this video about Bjork talking about the inside of a television.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way she says certain words just gives off that central Midlands-y sounding vibe.
Right.
But without being, you know, British, you probably don't get what I mean when I say Midlands-y. for such a small place, there's so much diversity in the voices.
Yeah.
It's
bizarre. The UK is tiny.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Like, when you consume any kind of British media, you really feel the fact that there's every town is a subculture, basically.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Every county or whatever you call it, it's like a different culture. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's like such a weird culture within small towns where they like to know everyone's business, but they also don't like to leave.
Yeah.
I think Hot Fuzz is a parody of this. Mm. Every small town is so like obsessed with maintaining its identity almost that everyone sort of knows everyone's business and it's kind of creepy. It's one of the reasons I prefer city life to village life in the UK is because if you get to know any people in a village, then it becomes everybody's business and it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, that sucks.
Because of that, I suppose a lot of these places do have a lot of their own culture still, especially in parts of Scotland. There are still parts of Scotland that don't speak English. Off in the islands, off in the northwest coasts, there are still places that speak their dialect, which is called Gaelic. There are lots of different kinds of Gaelic. There's like Irish Gaelic as well. A lot of the Welsh still speak Welsh as well. It's incredible how many people are still speaking it. I think it's pretty great, actually. I went to Wales once and I saw an ambulance there. If you just search for the word ambulance in Welsh, it looks like it says ambulance, but it also looks like it doesn't say ambulance at all. It's like ambiwlans.
Ambulance.
The Welsh word for a microwave. I'm fairly certain this is true. If it's not, you know, fact check me or whatever, but the Welsh word for a microwave is a pop-ti-ping.
Pop-ti-ping.
A pop-ti-ping, yeah.
That sounds onomatopoeic.
Yeah.
For some reason, that just brought to mind that, you know, when a product's name just becomes the name of the thing itself.
It's very big in America, like Jell-O and Xeroxing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and yeah. Band-Aids too, stuff like were just brand names.
In the UK, we call those things like jelly, printing, and plasters or bandages, respectively. We don't really associate a lot of brand names with the products that they are unless it's that revolutionary.
Here in France, boomers do that shit a lot, but young people don't. The inventions that have been there for decades, like for example, adhesive tape, it's called Scotch, because the most popular brand of adhesive tape is called Scotch. But then for more recent stuff, like a few months ago, all the Americans were talking about Purell. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, what is Purell?
I couldn't find out how to spell it. And then after a while, I understood it was like hydroalcoholic gel. And here we call it hydroalcoholic sanitizer gel. We don't have a word for it because it's more recent. And it's like, you can tell when a thing was invented because like boomers do that shit a lot, but young people don't. So if a thing is recent, we'll have the proper name.
We get that with sellotape here as well.
You're like an ad at that point when you like speak the product instead of the thing.
That's one of the reasons why I refuse to call Coca-Cola Coca-Cola, with the exception of right now. I'm just like, would you like a cola? And people just look so nonplussed at me when I'm like that. They're like, what, are you going to give me like a Pepsi or like a shop brand thing? I'm like, do you want a cola or not?
I want a Coke! Coke, motherfucker. Give me a Coke. Yep.
Yeah.
We need a Coke.
The thing is if you ask for a Coke in the UK, you don't know what you're going to get. You know?
Oh, it's, okay. They're referring to cocaine often. Okay.
You'd be surprised. Like, the northeast of Scotland specifically, where all the oil workers are. I suppose if you live in Texas, you might get this. I don't know. But amongst people who work in oil specifically, cocaine is ridiculously popular.
No, they have meth here. That's what the oil workers do.
From 18 to like 22, I worked in bars in Scotland. Once some dude was out of his face completely. He tried paying for a drink, and this note he handed me was covered in remnants of cocaine, like a £10 note. I literally said to him, you do realize this is like covered in cocaine, and he was that out of it. He had no idea what I was saying. So I just washed it and accepted it.
Nice. Nice.
Are your notes, like, plastic?
They don't get wet or damp or soggy when you get them wet, but they're not made of plastic, I don't think. I think they are now, but at the time when I was 18, I don't think they were. They were made more of some kind of, like, papery substance that happened to be...
Paper cloth, like the, yeah, like nice. The US currency. Cool.
I think what you should have done, really, was to, like... dust off the cocaine, but keep it, because if there was so much cocaine that you could see it on the bill, then it was probably worth more than the bill itself.
Yeah, probably.
Because I was in Scotland, it probably was a Scottish note.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this really funny thing over here, where if you try to use a Scottish pound note in England, so many shopkeepers get really, really funny about it, because like they don't think it's real.
Yes, Scotland's not real.
I think it might be where a lot of businesses try to avoid tax, perhaps, mm-hmm. but they tried paying a lot of their staff in English pound notes in England. And when I was living in Scotland, I came down to England to see my family, went to a Chinese restaurant, tried paying with like a Scottish £20 note, and they wouldn't accept it. So I had to like walk to an ATM just so I could take out some English money. I remember seeing so many like comedy sketches in the UK about how the Scottish pound note is legal tender. It's one of the most bizarre things ever.
That is yet another reason why you should have kept the cocaine. It's an international currency. It works everywhere.
Circling back to the cocaine, it's a semantic thing in the US. It's very clear if you're saying, I would like a Coke versus I would like some Coke.
Maybe you only want a little bit of Coca-Cola. You know, it's like I don't want an entire can. I just want some of one.
I want some Coca-Cola. No, you would never say that. You just wouldn't. You would only say I want some Coke if you're talking about cocaine, and I want a Coke if I'm talking about.
Maybe you just want a little bit of cocaine. I will have a Coke, please.
They have Urn Brew in Scotland, don't they?
They pronounce it Iron Brew.
Okay, my bad.
It's like a bastardization spelling of the word iron.
Iron Brew.
Iron Brew. I don't know how to describe the flavor. It is a very unique flavor. All I do know...
It's fucking disgusting.
It's one of those things that I have a nostalgia for, so every now and again I will buy some, and I will enjoy it purely through nostalgia. But it's one of those things where I've heard it's actually banned in some states because of the E number that they use in the colouring. And you know something's not right when the US bans an E number.
Yeah, that's crazy. The food laws in the US are some of the most lax in the world.
The most dangerous food in the planet is Kinder Eggs, though. Don't you dare give Americans a Kinder Egg.
I learned that recently. It's hard to import USA food in Mexico because in Mexico, the safety laws regarding foods are much more severe. Most US food is considered more or less unsafe by Mexican standards.
One American food that I like to buy, which is really, really hard to get in the UK because they passed some rule a few years ago which makes it almost impossible to get, and that's the spicy crunchy Cheetos. The American ones, they like dye your fingernails pink when you eat them. They're just that full of crap.
I love them.
I find them delicious.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Yeah.
Cheeto does not exist in France, but I've learned this on the internet. The Cheeto dust does not have to stain your fingers, but the company insists on keeping special dyes that will stain the fingers because they consider it an integral part of the Cheeto experience.
Mm. Oh, wow.
It sounds like a shitpost, but it's legit. You can Google it if you want.
Food facts that are actually not shitposts. strangely delicious stuff. I don't buy a lot of other things that are American. And I remember a few years ago, it would cost me like £4 or £5, which is a lot, by the way, for a bag of what we would call crisps here in the UK. It's quite a lot for that, but I enjoyed it that much that I was happy to spend that. But then they made it really hard to import. And now if I want to buy like a bag, now when I say a bag, I'm talking about a large-ish bag, not like a normal multi-pack bag or something, but like a largish one, it would cost me like £8 or £9 maybe to get a bag of these. Part of me is like, if I ever just go to the USA, I'm going to try and bring back as many as I can just to save money on it.
Well, you know, you've got a friend in the USA now.
It's still not going to be cheap to send stuff across.
Yes, it's true.
International shipping is a bitch.
Yeah.
But if you really need some, hey, I'm already sending a large box of snacks to Nelson. Maybe it'll cost less for me to send all of the European imports to France, and then it might cost less to ship from France to the UK.
Like a Chinese Whispers, but with but with food.
I don't think it would make a difference, though. Yeah. But maybe we should look it up. I don't know.
Who knows?
I tried Irrenbrü a few years ago.
Brie.
It's a cultural phenomenon.
It is very, very cultural.
It is like the most sold soda in Scotland.
It is. It outsells Coca-Cola.
Yes, exactly. It's one of the only places in the world where another soda outsells Coca-Cola. If I was to describe the taste, I'd say it's kind of like a mix between Red Bull, orange soda, and Mountain Dew.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but it's in a weird flavorless zone between the three. It's not got a lot of flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
I
think it tasted more like medicine than soda.
It is very sugary.
Dr. Pepper has that sort of medicine-y sort of taste? Is it anything close to that?
Over here, Dr. Pepper just tastes kind of vanilla-y. It's like a vanilla-y cola over here.
Okay.
No, wait, not a vanilla-y cola, sorry. It's more like this might sound odd, it's almondy. A lot of people say that it's kind of like
marzipan.
Yeah, it's got a sort of amaretto taste to it, but minus the alcohol.
Yeah, and a little bit of cherry as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper is a great invention, I think, because it was at a time where you could buy soda in soda fountains, like the one that still exists today. And all the sodas widely available, pretty much all of them, had a clearly identifiable flavor. There was the raspberry soda, grape soda, orange soda, lemon soda, etc. And there was a guy who was working, I think, in the shop where there was a fountain like this. And the smell of the fountain, where all the drops of all the different sodas were merged together, smelled like nothing. It was like a new smell. It was like something that it did not exist. And so he engineered Dr. Pepper to have a unique taste that tastes like nothing else.
Clever.
Like, doesn't taste like any fruit, doesn't taste like anything. And that was the point of the invention of Dr. Pepper. It was supposed to be a new taste and not something that imitates the taste of a fruit or something like this.
Mm. I really, really like when companies go out their way to make something unique like that. We have another carbonated drink in the UK called Vimto. If you ever find yourself in the UK, or in fact, I might send some across if I can, it is like a mixed fruit drink, but the fruits that they use are not like the tropical fruits that you would normally get in your mixed fruit sodas. It is like a combination of more British, almost summery fruits, like berries and grapes and cherries and raspberries and stuff. There used to be this artist called Purple Ronnie. I'm not sure if any of you know who Purple Ronnie is.
No, but I love the name.
If you look up Purple Ronnie, you will recognize the art style, because for a very long time, I'm not sure if this is an international thing, but they would use Purple Ronnie's illustrations on gift cards. It was used in a lot of early internet things. Purple Ronnie used to do the adverts for Vimto, and they used to have the slogan Vimto, the fruitiest word I know. It was just such a weird aspect of British culture. Vimto still exists. Don't know who owns Vimto. Let's have a look.
And I'm looking up this thing, and the guy who created Purple Ronnie is named Giles.
Hell yeah.
Oh, hey.
How about that?
Is there a durian drink?
Joe, that sounds... Does a durian produce juice?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I've had durian ice cream. I live in Chinatown.
Oh, nice.
And it's quite common to see durian ice cream or durian pastries. And it's also quite common to see durians in the fruit and vegetable stores.
Do you smell them a lot?
Not really, because when it's in the open air, it doesn't really smell. It's always outside, you know? They're always outside, like where they put the watermelons and the peaches and all that stuff. In Thailand and countries in the area, it's banned. I know it's banned in trains and in taxis and stuff like this, because when it's like in a confined place, then the smell gets really strong and overpowering.
Yeah.
But when it's outside, it just somehow it just goes away and you barely smell it. I don't know how it works, but that's how it works.
I've just read something, actually. I was looking up if there was like a durian drink. Some people put it in shakes, but otherwise there's a lot of myths, like urban myths, about how eating durian and then consuming alcohol can kill you.
Wow.
And I've done a quick search further into this out of curiosity, and it says here, when alcohol enters the body, it goes to the liver where the release of enzyme alcohol dehydrogenase is stimulated, and it says here that when you eat durian, some metabolic activity can be reduced by 70%. It can lead to eating durians and drinking alcohol together to be lethal, apparently, if you're not careful with it.
It's like when you drink or eat grapefruits.
Oh, yeah. It makes some medicines not work.
And it makes some medicine work much more. For example, I know that if you take grapefruit juice and heroin at the same time, then the heroin will work much more powerfully.
Wow.
Apparently, it can stop birth control from working as well. And antidepressants.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if you're... if you're on antidepressants or birth control, don't have grapefruits.
Yeah.
Huh.
I was thinking about this thing we said about accents. It reminded me, I have a friend, same with me, like she's was born in France and spent all her life in France, and she learned English, just like many of us, by watching movies and TV shows from Britain and from the US. And her accent is like, it's not at all like mine, where it's like kind of a mishmash and that doesn't sound like anything specifically. She has a very strong American and British accent, and it goes from one to the other really quick. Like she starts a sentence, and it's like really strong American accent, and by the end of the sentence, it's like 100% British. It's kind of jarring. I don't know how it happens, but it does.
Yeah. Yours just sounds European to me. Like a generalized, like European fluent in English.
You wouldn't be able to pick out where it's from. If you had to guess, you wouldn't be able to pick out where it's from.
Yeah, keep it vague.
I mean, you just sound like a native French speaker that learned English. That's all. But like, that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
I definitely watched a lot of American TV while growing up. My older brother says things in a very American way because he was very absorbed in American TV. So yeah, I don't have a really strong Aussie sort of thing going on, but I do like to play it up.
Oh yeah.
I really like how Australians have some Britishisms and some Americanisms.
Yeah, yep, yep.
I often don't know where the Britain starts and where the America starts. Not to erase the Australian identity or anything.
No, go for it.
For example, a question I don't know the answer to, do you say rubbish over there or do you say trash?
I said rubbish, yeah, earlier, and like I felt like I had to say garbage just so that Lisa understood.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, garbage is another one, yeah. Don't worry, you can say rubbish around me. I'm not going to judge you.
Yeah, I'm a rubbish guy. Yeah.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
I have more than one Australian friend now, so y'all can, you know, acculturate me to your lingo. That's okay.
I remember watching this Australian comedian singing about ibises on the internet, which are birds.
Yes.
No, I thought you said IBS.
Irritable bowel. Okay.
No, ibis.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
The African bird.
Yeah, apparently you get ibises like terrorizing people and eating their bins and stuff.
Yeah.
They're like super seagulls.
Yeah.
There's a song about it. If you just search up the Ibis song, you can treat yourself to what I think is an Australian man singing about how they are bin juice drinking cunts.
Is that Tim Minchin?
No, it's not. Tim Minchin is brilliant, but it's not Ibis song. A song about birds. No. bin juice drinking.
Yeah, bin chickens or whatever.
You've probably seen that article that went viral a bunch of years ago about a kookaburra that ate so many sausages that it was too fat to fly.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I found it. It's called A Song About Birds by the Van Vuren Bros.
Oh, the Van Vuren Bros, like from Seinfeld.
A kookaburra.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that make the laughing noise, right?
Yep. Yeah. I like them. I don't mind hearing this weird crazy cackling laugh in the distance.
You know, in the distance. Sinister kookaburra noises. You know what must be fun? As someone who's lived in Scotland, and I know this has got to be fun in some cases, but like trying to convince people who aren't familiar with your country wild facts or falsehoods, should I say, about your local wildlife.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people are still convinced that the haggis is an actual animal.
Tasty animal.
It's a huge misconception to people outside of Scotland that the haggis is like some kind of bird or some weird furry creature that runs around in the hills. Playing that angle to people is fucking hilarious.
They have that in Australia, and it's drop bears over here.
Oh yeah,
I've never really bothered to partake in it. I'm not convincing enough, really.
You're just gonna be deadpan about it.
Yeah,
as deadpan as you possibly can be. Thank you very much for joining us on the Aneurysm Podcast. I would say this morning or this evening, it depends what time you're listening to it. Hopefully you've had yourself a wonderful time. Hopefully you'll hear more from me soon. And hopefully you'll hear more from the rest of us as well.
Correct.
Once again, please check out the sponsor, Palm Treat. I'm going to check them out myself after we're done. Actually, I got paid a couple of days ago. So
get some of them shirts that you want.
Lovely Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, I'll put the link in the description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't forget that life is short. Eat dessert first.
Eat dessert first.
Always.
Every day.
Peace.